1450 on your AM dial, 103.5 FM. This is KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me now is Reed Moore with Wyoming Game and Fish. Reed is the Aquatic Invasive Species Specialist. Good morning, Reed.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We appreciate you taking some time. And, you know, let's start off by talking about what aquatic invasive species are and why we're trying to keep them out of our Wyoming waters.
So just like all invasive species, aquatic are just specific to living in the water. And so they're all species that are going to cause problems to our aquatic ecosystems here in Wyoming if they're introduced. And as an agency, we actually have a list of those. And so they include things. A lot of listeners probably have heard of zebra and quagga mussels. Those are kind of our highest priority AIS. We don't have any of those in the state yet, and so we're really trying to keep those out. Unfortunately, some other species like Asian clams and New Zealand mud snails and vegetation like curly pondweed are AIS that we do have in Wyoming.
And one of the problems with some of these invasive species is once they're in the waters, there's really no way to get rid of them.
Yes, that is true. So a lot of the species that we have are very similar to native species we have, and they outcompete those native species, and so they are going to decrease the amount of native species we have, may decrease forage for some of our sport fish, and once they're in, to get rid of them, about the only way to get rid of any of these is to use chemicals. Most of those are copper-based pesticides that are going to kill everything in the water. Or draining the water, and as we know, if you take the water away from a fish, that fish is going to die. And so there's no good method without killing a whole reservoir to get rid of just the invasive species.
So one of the recommendations would be that if anyone has their watercraft in waters outside of Wyoming, that they get it inspected and cleaned before dropping it in Wyoming waters. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I'd add it's actually the law. So coming into Wyoming from out of state March 1st through November 30th, all watercraft have to be inspected before they can be launched. And so even within Wyoming, when you go from water to water, it's really good practice. Just make sure you're always going from place to place, making sure your boat's clean, drained, and dried, so you're not risking moving AIS or even just other species or diseases in Wyoming from water body to water body. But because we don't have quagga and zebra mussels in Wyoming, we're really targeting our borders with our AIS check stations to try to keep those two species from being introduced into Wyoming. So you probably remember last fall, there was reports in South Dakota of a new zebra mussel population, and so we've very drastically increased our operations on our eastern border to protect Wyoming from Pactola Reservoir in South Dakota, where there is a new zebra mussel population. And so we've added a check station in Newcastle and then just outside of Lusk in Manville, so that we have a lot of those, all those main roads in from the east. Now we have check stations that will be operating this boating season.
And so when people are to clean their watercraft before, you know, bringing it back into the state, what do you recommend? Soap and water? What is it that they need to do?
So draining it is really the big thing. And then if you're coming into our check stations, we don't recommend any chemicals or anything like that. The efficacy or the efficiency of actually killing the AIS of chemicals is highly variable dependent on species. And so what we do is if you come into our check station and you're coming off of a positive water and there's water present or you've used it in the last 30 days, we'll use 140 degree water to kill those species. And so what we do at our check stations is we have a pressure washer, commercial steam cleaner that we have dialed down to 140 degrees for the outside of the watercraft and 120 degrees for the inside. And in just a matter of seconds or minutes for 120 degree water, we're able to kill those species. And so if you're coming into our check station, when we do those inspections, we'll help actually use heat to kill those species. But if you're drying your boat, the desiccation happens so much faster if there's not water present. And so if you're pulling your plugs, leaving live wells open so that they can completely dry out, you're drastically reducing the risk of you transporting any AIS to a new body of water.
Okay, and if people aren't doing that, if they are leaving a little bit of water in there, how long can these things live? How long can they...
So both adults, which you'd actually see as like the mussel you see that's zebra-striped for quagga or zebra mussels, or the juveniles, which are microscopic in the water, in lab settings, they've lived 30 days out of water. And obviously, depending on conditions, that can vary. But 30 days is kind of the maximum that we see any of these species living out of the water. And so it really is, it's a long time. It doesn't take a lot of humidity or water to keep these organisms alive. And so it's just a small amount of water can transport AIS.
And Reed, while a lot of us have heard what zebra mussels are, what is it that they actually do in the water that makes them such an invasive species?
So they reproduce exponentially. A single female can produce up to 1 million eggs a year. And they're filter feeders, so they're filtering up to 1 gallon of water a day per individual. And so they're taking out kind of the base of the food chain in an ecosystem where they're filtering a lot of the phytoplankton and zooplankton that are at the bottom of the food chain that other small-bodied fish or other native species would be relying on. And then as that goes through the food chain, if the bottom is struggling, then that means there's less minnows and forage for the sport fish that we're trying to raise and allow anglers to be able to be catching. And on top of that, quagga and zebra mussels have Bissell threads, which allow them to permanently attach to things. It's one of the reasons they are so easily spread is they actually permanently attach to hard surfaces like boats or rocks or docks. And so they can cause a lot of infrastructure damage. Water treatment facilities are going to be impacted where they're going to have to clean pipes and clean filters because quagga and zebra mussels can attach to all that infrastructure. And then for non-boaters, just people angling or just people recreating on the water, you're going to have a big accumulation of tiny, sharp shells. And so instead of walking on the beach at keyhole, it may turn into you're walking on top of lots of dead shells. You're not able to enjoy that recreation as much.
And then on top of those mussels, there's some weeds or plant life that people may not see as an invasive species, but if it gets in other waterways, it kind of the same way kind of takes over.
Yeah, so in our region up here, you know, we have curly pondweed in Lake DeSmit, and it's just in a few spots, but we have a large population of curly pondweed at Keyhole, and so it's an invasive species that starts growing sooner than our native species, so it grows much faster and kind of shades out our native aquatic plants, and it grows so fast that it kind of alters some mechanisms in that ecosystem. You have an accumulation and then the decay of a large amount of biomass creates anoxic conditions, which isn't good for fish. It actually can reduce recreation. We had a couple of years ago a kayaker, there's a big mat, it was probably 20 feet by 30 feet of curly pondweed. A kayaker didn't see it and got out the middle of it and couldn't get himself paddled out because he was just getting tangled up in that, and he had to get pulled out of that. And so there is both recreational and ecological impacts of plants, not just the other animals that we're talking about.
And so just kind of going back, the most important thing people can do is keep their boats dry.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So that's the clean, drain, dry. That's the way to keep from spreading anything, whether they're invasive species or just a species that may not be native in the lake you're headed to next. If you're cleaning, draining, and drying your boat, you're greatly reducing the risk of transporting AIS.
And, you know, some people may not think of it when they go just across the border. You know, you talked about some of the bodies of water in South Dakota, but also, you know, up at like Tongue River Reservoir that goes into Montana. When people are there and then come back to Wyoming, they need to do the same checks, right?
Yep, yeah. So it's the state line is kind of that, where we designate that. Even, you know, we'll talking about Tongue River Reservoir, and they have other invasive species in Montana. And so like the Bighorn River, we see quite a few boats going between the Bighorn River in Montana and like the North Platte down in Casper. The Bighorn River in Montana has New Zealand mud snails, which is another invasive species that we more commonly see where people are fly fishing. And so you just never really know what species are there. And if something was to be introduced, we may not know about it right away. And so we want to make sure we're not spreading anything from place to place.
Absolutely. And so when people are heading to lakes on the weekends, especially some of the busy weekends, they always have the AIS check stations. Just ask boaters to be patient, because the little bit of inconvenience it takes to have your boat looked over can save our waters for years to come.
Yes, that is true. I will add, I guess, one of the big changes. Last fall, we had put some restrictions in place at Keyhole those restrictions are lifted now that we've opened those check stations at Newcastle and Manville. And so both Keyhole and Glendale will operate like they did last spring, where the only time boats will have to go out of their way to get inspected before launching there is if they're coming in from out of state. And so if you're a local person from Buffalo and you're going over to Keyhole for the weekend and we're not there, you're going to be able to launch your boat if you haven't used it out of the state before bringing it to Keyhole. And so if you're staying inside the borders of Wyoming, you just got to stop when our check stations are open. And like you said, really just be patient with us. There's a lot of people all trying to get out on the water. And so we get through those inspections as quickly as we can, but we still got to be making sure we're not letting AIS be introduced. And so we'll continue to do those inspections like we had previous to last fall.
And while we're talking about it, are you guys still looking for AIS inspectors, or are you full on that job this summer?
So we still have some open positions around the state. Our positions up here in Sheridan are full. I'm still looking for a couple of people over at Beulah. And then just across the state, we have other positions open. We do also offer a private training. And so if there are individuals that are interested in being able to do inspections of their own watercraft or offer inspections to members of the public, they can reach out to the Sheridan Regional Office. We had a training earlier this year, but I'm got some interest again. And so if you're interested, there may be a second training we're offering in Sheridan. And so feel free to reach out to the Sheridan Regional Office if you're interested in becoming a private inspector, where you could offer your services to the public, or if you think it would be beneficial to you to be able to inspect your own watercraft and know more about AIS in Wyoming.
All right. We're talking with Reed Moore, aquatic invasive species specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Reed, thank you so much for taking the time today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on. I definitely appreciate talking with you.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you being on. And everybody keep those radio dials right here, KBBS.